We use this term, which is not our term. I think Toby from Shopify came up with this term called the trust battery. Then everybody has a trust battery, and everyone kind of starts at a 50% charge. You know, you trust them enough, but they're brand new, so you wouldn't like hand them the keys to the whole company. And then over time, you charge, the battery gets charged or it loses charge. And what's interesting about it is that trust battery is actually a one-to-one thing. There's a company version of it, but there's also one-to-one thing in that different people have different charges with different people.
Hi, I'm Andreas, the CEO of MadeWithLove. We help startups and their teams grow. Today, I'm talking with Jason Fried, the founder of Basecamp, about the concept of rehiring in Pulse, our monthly podcast. Grab a cup of coffee, sit back, and enjoy. My guest for today needs very little introduction. Jason is from Chicago, United States, and is currently living in LA. He has been leading 37 Signals since the inception in 1999. Welcome to the podcast, Jason.
Thanks for having me on.
I've been using your products for years, probably since 2006. I really still miss the vuvuzela sound from Campfire, but probably with Slack and everything, it's better not to have it. We actually built a tool, we called it Slounge, to bring the vuvuzela sounds in Slack at one point in time.
It's still in Basecamp, so it's still there. It's in the Campfire feature inside Basecamp.
I didn't know
now.
That. Okay, yeah. That's good to know. Yeah. I'll use it there then. I also was in love with Backpack Kit. Mm-hmm. I guess very few people still know what it is, but it was basically Notion of La Lettre, I guess. But yeah, we're not here to get nostalgic. I want to discuss a blog post that you wrote a couple of months ago. The title was On Hiring, Rehiring, and One Question to Answer Them All. Basically, to summarize, and of course, correct me if I'm wrong, your message was that as a manager, you should frequently ask yourself if you would hire a person again, right?
Yeah, that's sort of the gist of it, yes.
Yes, and you say that you should do it 1 year in. So basically, the idea is that instead of doing a performance review or a very heavy process, there's just one question that you have to ask yourself. And that's the question, would I rehire this person? Maybe a very straightforward question after that, like, if not, would you let them go?
Right. So that's a good follow-up. So this is typically something we ask ourselves after the first year. So the way we kind of do it is we give people about a year to find their way here, to not to be perfect, but to show the right trajectory that, like, they're fitting in here, they're contributing, there's a good future for them here, for us and for them. And so that question is asked not at the 3 month mark or 6 month mark, or but at the year mark, roughly. There's some examples of people who've only been here for a few months where it's very clear, like, there's just some mismatch, like we didn't pick the right person or something happened or whatever it was. But for the most part, it's about a year. And then, yeah, essentially, if the answer is probably not, then it is time to part ways at that first year. The first year is sort of the critical mark for us. And it's also for them in a sense. I mean, no one likes to be let go, obviously, but it's also not good for them to be in a job where the company they work for doesn't quite see a future for them here and for them to gut it out for a while longer. It's better for them to go find another job somewhere else where they can really fit in and do well and excel.
It's, of course, it's not something that you can actually measure. I mean, it's I think about trust and believing where a person is going, like the growth potential in a person as well. Does that mean that you give them an onboarding period of a year? Or like you mentioned before, it happens, I guess, that if something really doesn't work out, I mean, you ask the question earlier or is that another kind of process?
Yeah, there's definitely more process. There's check-ins early on. We have like a really solid, strong 90-day review. So, you know, for the first few months, how are things going? If there needs to be some corrections or, you know, we make those corrections, we'll catch up again 6 months, 7 months, 8 months, that sort of thing. So there are definitely moments along the way, especially earlier on, we meet more frequently. And then typically the team lead who's responsible for that person, they'll be working directly with them in some capacity. So they're, it's not like there's a cone of silence and then you just meet up 3 times a year. It's like people are working all the time with each other. And given the fact that we have a relatively small company and small teams, there's just a lot of interaction. It's pretty clear between a lot of different people how people are doing, and other people will help other people who need help and the whole thing. But it does become pretty clear at some point, like, that we would hire them again. knowing what we know now, we would hire them again, or we wouldn't.
Yeah, I think it's a very, very nice metric, because it's, I mean, you have like companies doing like very heavy 360 review process that takes like 2 months for the whole company to complete. I don't think that makes a lot of sense.
We've tried that, by the way. We used to do some of that. You know, we've sort of landed here. I think it's important to say this. We landed here after trying all these other things.
Yeah.
And it just, these other things feel very process oriented. They don't feel very like fundamentally clarifying in the way that that question does. And that's why we landed here.
No, I think it's a good one. And I mean, you do it after 1 year. Would you also do it again after the next year? Is it like a question that you ask yourself every year? Or is that how you would approach it? Or
yeah, not so much. So it's really initially a first year question. Mm-hmm. And then there are different questions you would ask as time goes on. I mean, one of them is, at some point, is someone progressing beyond where they were? So are mm-hmm. they continuing to grow? Are they excelling? Where are they settling in? Some people just settle in at a certain place, and that could be fine if that's what we need. But if we need someone to continue to progress, you know, it wouldn't be, would we hire them again? You know, at that point, it's more mentally, it's more like, would we be better off hiring someone who's already at the next level? Or is this person going to get to that level? Mm-hmm. So there's some of that. You know, are they plateauing? Are they continuing? It's really for us about trajectory.
Yeah.
And even that first year, it's because like it can take a while to get seated in here, but you can tell if someone's gonna make it or not in that sense.
Yeah.
So that's how it continues to feel.
And I mean, also, I guess you have what, I mean, I don't know if you know the, like the matrix thing with, it's called the people potential performance matrix, where you have like two axes and like it's like a matrix with where you have the term backbones, like people that are not necessarily have a lot of potential anymore. Their productivity is fine, but it's not like, I mean, they're just good assets to the company, right?
Yes.
So for those people, I mean, I guess they're, even if you don't see a lot of potential for growth, you still keep them.
Well, you want a mix. I think it's important to have a mix of people, right?
Of course. So I don't know if at Microsoft, they also use this kind of technique, and there is like the four parts of the matrix, and like the bottom left part is people that you should fire. And I think at Microsoft every year, they fire like 10% of their workforce. That's like in that lower corner. I guess that's a bit too extreme to do, but we also try to position our team. Indeed, you should always have like people in all the different boxes of the matrix. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there's different people who are just solid. Their institutional knowledge is vast and they're really valuable, but they're not really necessarily growing as much anymore, because there's a point where you kind of reach your potential if you've been at a company for a long time, but then what you provide is a lot of deep value and also mentoring new people who come on. And there's so much that someone can offer. And so, but you do want a mix of these people. You don't want everyone who's just sort of plateaued. You want some people who are really hungry, some people who are savvy veterans who know how this place works inside and out. You know, you want a mix of people, I think. That's very important.
Yeah, of course. One of the things that ties in with this a bit, and I guess it's in Getting Real. I don't know if it is, because it has been a long time since I read it, but hiring slow, fire fast, I guess that ties in very big into this as well. I think lots of people have a hard time letting people go, and they keep them for way too long. And I always say to people, if people ask me the advice, like, okay, I have a person that's not performing well, or I basically ask the question, like, do you still trust the person? And if you don't trust them anymore, there is no way that the trust can be regained in 3 months or whatsoever. So as soon as you have that feeling, it's not going to work out. You should basically make the decision and let them go. Because the longer you keep them, the harder it will be to let them go, I guess.
That's true. There's this thing, we use this term, which is not our term. I think Toby from Shopify came up with this term called the trust battery. Mm-hmm. And then everybody has a trust battery and everyone kind of starts at a 50% charge. You know, you trust them enough, but they're brand new. So you wouldn't like hand them the keys to the whole company. You know. And then over time you charge, the battery gets charged or it loses charge. And what's interesting about it is that trust battery is actually a one-to-one thing. There's a company version of it, but there's also one-to-one thing in that different people have different charges with different people. So it's definitely a matrix of charges that you're thinking about. But if someone's battery is running really low with a lot of different people, mm-hmm. that's a sign. We've had those situations where we have a really, really talented person, but for whatever reason, they're difficult to work with. And it's not just one person that they're difficult to work with, because that could be a weird personality conflict happens. But if it's three or four people or two or three run-ins or like something else is going on here and the battery is low across the board, that's when you need to really consider,
It's like with actual batteries, you put them in serial behind each other, and if they are low, then you're in trouble, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Cool. I think that makes sense. I haven't heard about that before, but yeah, it definitely makes sense. So when I first started a blog post rehiring, of course, you have this thing, okay, we discuss if you would rehire a person, but they're not fired. Would you ever rehire a person that you fired from the company? And maybe we sometimes have that, like people maybe 6-7 years ago worked with us, they were fired or they left and then they apply again. Like, how do you approach that? Is that something that you think makes sense to do?
Yeah, we've done that twice. It wasn't a firing situation though. Because I think that's a really tough one. Mm-hmm. But we had one designer who left many, 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 many years ago. He just wanted to do something else, totally fine. And yeah, then we hired him again many, many years later, and he's still with us for many, many years now. And then a programmer, same thing. One of our earliest programmers worked with us for a while. He got burned out. He left, wanted to do something else, and we hired him back again. And that one didn't work out. It worked out for a while, but didn't permanently work out. So it's very rare, I think, that that sort of situation can work. It can, and it has with this one designer really well, but it's rare. I think the reasons have to be very specific. Like, I just was ready for a new challenge, or I wanted a different career path, and then I decided to come back around back to where I was. But if it's because, like, I don't like the company, I don't like how you work, it's probably going to be the same 5, 6, 7 years down the road.
You guys obviously had this little controversy a couple of years ago. The people that, I think quite some people left at that point in time. Would you consider rehiring some of them if they would apply?
It depends who they are and why they left. I mean, some people left because they were going to leave anyway, and there was a healthy severance. Other people left because they really had a big problem with our policy. One person almost came back but decided not to in the end. I think we've moved on from that period of time, though. But you know, I wouldn't close the door to anybody for any reason, unless it was. Look, if someone's publicly denigrating you or something like that, like, of course, just, it's not worth it. But if someone has a change of heart or they have a different perspective now, people do grow, of course, and they go, you know what? Actually, I'm kind of seeing why you did that, and I kind of actually agree now. I went a few different places. I saw what that was like. It all depends on how someone leaves, I think, is a big part of it.
Yeah, makes sense. Yeah. And do you have in the hiring process some kind of ways to avoid, like, the bias that you have with people? Like, do you anonymize certain parts of it, or?
Well, you know, it's interesting because you are biased. Obviously, we all are. We want a certain type of person we know will fit in well here with certain kinds of experiences and work history and abilities. So what's tricky about us is that we're not a training organization in a traditional sense. We're a very small company. We have 80 people, but our product team is there's only a few dozen people on it. And I think in other companies, you might hire someone with a lot of promise, but not much skill right now. But
yeah, of course.
Because there's a capacity to build them up over a long period of time. They have a training organization, you know, they have training programs. We don't have any of those things. So people we hire, we have to make sure can fit in and literally begin to get to work, you know, in a few weeks.
Yeah, we are in a similar situation. It's sometimes very hard to, I mean, especially in early stage. I mean, we're not in early stage, we're a consulting company, but in early stage, we work with a lot of early stage companies and they ask us like, okay, well, we want to hire an intern or a junior developer. I always tell them, hire just one senior guy or girl instead of three junior ones, right? It's going to take you way further.
we have though, we had an internship program for a while and then we didn't have it. And we just added another one this year. So we have three interns now. And that's another really wonderful way to spot wonderful talent who normally wouldn't have been someone you would consider because their work history or whatever, they'd come in too junior. But then you can see like, wow, this person's quite good. Yeah. And we've actually hired a handful of our interns in different roles who started out as interns who we probably wouldn't have hired if we just looked at their, you know, work experience because they didn't have much.
One of the longest people in our company is actually someone that needed to be hired as an intern, and they have been with us for more than 10 years now. But you need to pick the right ones, I guess. So you need to be very lucky.
Yes.
Of course, as Basecamp or your 7 Signals, you obviously get in a lot of good talent, I guess, which you can pick from. Like, the inflow of candidates, is that like massive? Is that, how do you manage that?
We had, I don't know how many people, I wasn't involved with the process this last time, but I think it was something like 1,000 applications. And the teams who are involved in the teams who this person or these people will be working with are involved in the hiring process. And there's a process we go through with normal hires and internships as well. And, you know, it's what ends up being pretty clear pretty quickly is you go, let's just say there's, just for the sake of simplicity, let's say there's 100 applicants. You can pretty quickly dismiss 80 of them.
Of course.
Because they either just didn't follow directions, didn't have anything in their application that felt like they were actually applying for this position. They were just applying for a position. Mm-hmm. And you can pretty quickly narrow that down. And then you get to the like top 20. And that's where it gets really interesting because there's some really wonderful people in there. And you know you only have three positions. And so you just, you know, you have to look at all the small details. You have conversations with people. There's different conversations with different people on the team. And at some point you just, you get to the place where it's very clear that these are the top few. And typically we'll give them a work project to do. And then you can look at the actual work and they talk you through the work and their solutions and why they went there. And then you push back on it to see how they respond. And you're like, we could work with this person. I can't wait to work with this person. That's really what we're ultimately after is like, I can't wait to work with this person.
Yeah.
They're going to make this place a better place. Like that's the feeling you want to get. Not like, yeah, they're pretty good. It's like, that's, you know, that's not enough.
Is that about interns that you're talking or is it also like a general hiring process?
I'd say same. Okay. It's everybody. It's like you want to get to this place where you're like, I can't wait to work with this person. This is going to be great. And that's the feeling we're looking for, I think, ultimately. That is the final gut feel that you need from somebody. It's not that they check off all the boxes because there's a bunch of intangibles and little things. And you're like, I can't wait. It's going to be great. So that's what we're looking for.
Yeah, and that's maybe a good thing to conclude on that. So basically the feeling that you have there when you hire that person, you're asking the question a year later, do I still have that feeling or at least somewhat of that feeling? And if not, then you decide to basically let them go, right?
It really is the continuation of that feeling. Now, it's a different kind of feeling because there's a sense of anticipation when you first hire someone because you haven't worked with them yet. And after a year, there's no anticipation anymore in a sense, but you are kind of still like, this is great. Like, it's fun working with you. We're doing great work together. This is great. You're making me better. Hopefully I'm making you better. And when I say I and you, I mean like the company and you, this just feels good. This feels good. Let's keep going. This is going to be next year's going to be even better. That's the kind of the feeling you really should have, especially when there's so much talent out there in the world. You know, we're fully remote, so we can hire people anywhere in the world. So you have a wide variety of people you can choose from. And for everybody's sake, there should be a healthy sense of enthusiasm on both sides that they want to continue and you want to continue. And I think if it's just like, yeah, it's look, not every day is great. There's plenty of days you're like, yeah, it's just a job, obviously. But mostly you want to feel like, you know, some enthusiasm, I think, for the work and the people.
No, that makes total sense. Okay, thanks, Jason. Thanks for joining me and maybe talk to you soon.
Yeah, love to. Thanks and stay in touch.
Bye-bye. That's the end of this episode. Thanks for listening and following us. Listen to other episodes on our website, madewithlove.com/pulse, or on your favorite streaming service. You can, of course, also follow us on LinkedIn or Twitter. See you next time.